The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Thanks, Lachlan. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. No ladies yet. Well done. Well done. Let's get into it. If you're here as a worker, my guess is most of us workers here in the city, you're one of 10.683 million Australians who work. Well, that's as of the 2016 census. About two-thirds are in full-time work and about one-third of our workers work part-time. What's tended to happen from what I can work out over the last couple of decades is that the average of work hours hasn't changed that much. But what's tended to happen is more people are working part-time, but those who have full-time jobs are actually working longer hours. So one of the articles that I found, I think these stats are a couple of years old, but of the about 7.5 million full-time employees, more than 5 million of them are working over 40 hours a week. So more part-time work, but if you have a full-time job, more likely to be working longer and longer hours. We're also heading to a seven-day economy. And you say, well, thank you, Captain Obvious, but it's true. Here from the 2016 census, about, I guess, a third, now let me see, a bit over a quarter of the workforce work each weekend, 2.75 million Australians. If you think, why are we headed that way? Well, there's lots of money for businesses to make, but also it puts about an extra $14 billion per year in the pay packets of those 2.75 million Australians. Now, I don't know if you're as old as me and you've lived in this country for a long time, you may remember before the seven-day economy. Like, I remember everything just closed at Saturday lunchtime. That was it. And thanks for coming till Monday morning. Nothing was open on a Sunday. Everything was quiet. It was kind of the reset button was hit every week. Now, you know, more and more and more the seven-day economy. You think, okay, well, what does it matter? Well, let me put it to you that I don't mean to make you feel guilty if you work on weekends. It's obvious that some people need to, etc. But let's just think about the cost of that, if you like. Lots of dollars, but what's the cost? Well, I only found this book online. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but The Weekend Effect by Katrina Onstad. She's a Canadian lady, but I did find her interviewed on a Canadian news website. And how the weekend has disappeared and why we need to take it back. There's no indication that this lady's a follower of Jesus. She's a journalist and just done some research and some thinking. So in the interview, they asked her, why is the weekend disappearing and why are we working longer and longer hours? Now, what she said, no surprise at first, that is, well, technology means that you never leave work if you've got the phone or the mobile or the phone, the mobile, the laptop, whatever it is. She also said one of the things that's happened is there's been a shrinking of membership and power of unions in the workforce, and that's meant this kind of bracket creep of people working longer and longer hours. The other one in Canada, and I guess it's the same here, is more and more insecure work. So more and more people who are contractors, or your job's not secure, and so you're more likely to work more hours to keep on the good side of the boss. But here's what she said that was interesting. She talked about why does it matter. She talked about it at a personal level and then a societal level. And I'll quote something. She said, on a personal level, we know that our bodies suffer from overwork and lack of leisure, anxiety, mental health issues. We're not designed to work more than 40 hours a week. Now, you might argue with that, but she's saying there's a threshold somewhere. Our systems wear out and the quality of our work suffers. After 50 hours, it crashes and burns. The numbers might be adjustable. She's saying there's a point of working too much, you actually becomes counterproductive. But what she said about society is interesting. She said, but on a societal level, what happens to community when people don't have time to gather or connect in person, not just over social media? Not having time off becomes a public interest issue. It means the erosion of social bonds, less civic contribution and participation, and loneliness is on the rise in North America, actually, and in Australia. We find ourselves too busy for true connection and prioritising work over life. And she goes on to say how precious the weekend is to people, or how precious it should be. Another interesting article, why a get-together on the weekend is good for you. And here is Matt Wade, who's from the Sydney Morning Herald, who quotes a couple of, once again, Canadian economists who worked out, here it is, people are happier on the weekends. Who would have thought? Okay. But here's what they say that's interesting. Why are people happier on the weekends? What the study found was, it's not the opportunity to sleep in or to read a book that made the difference. It was time for valuable interactions with friends and family, which happened much more on weekends than on any other day. And what she's saying is, if you have a time off in a different time when other people are at work, you never actually catch that up. Now, what I'm saying is, don't feel guilty if you work weekends. What he's saying is there's something special about the opportunity to get together as a community. And he says it's not like you can say it doesn't matter when you have your leisure time at a different time to everyone else. It just means you spend more time alone. It's much harder for people having a day off when most others are working or at school to get together. And so there's that kind of emptiness that as a society we're in danger of. Now, all of that is not to make you feel guilty if you work weekends or whatever, but to think about the wisdom of the fourth rule for life. Working our way through the Ten Commandments, very quickly, if you haven't been here before, about 1400 BC, God takes the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, brings them to Mount Sinai, so you feel like he rescues them, and then gives them a summary of how to live as his people. So this is the Old Testament people of God. First commandment we saw was about loyalty and service to the one true God. Second commandment about how to relate to that God, not through images and statues, but through his words. Third, how we're to treat God's name, especially if we belong to him as the people of God. And fourth today, how we're to serve God in the pattern of work and rest. So here we go. Rule four, the rest day, the fourth commandment. Now, on the inside of your handout is a summary, or is some of the Bible verses that we'll look at. Let me fess up. It's a bit of an irony. On the topic of taking a rest, I've got too much material. I'm just going to rush through it. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll stop wasting time and asking you to forgive me. Let's have a look. The fourth commandment begins like this in Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The word Sabbath means to cease, to stop working, to rest, to celebrate. So have one day a week that's a Sabbath when you can stop, rest, celebrate, enjoy life. I have a friend who's Jewish. He's not a Christian, he's Jewish. And he still celebrates Shabbat. So he's actually the physio I see. He's a good friend. But from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, he doesn't work, so he has these kind of lovely family rituals that he does together with wife and family and kids and so on, and you can tell he's really looking forward to it on a Friday afternoon. And that's the idea of a rest like that each day. And God says to remember it, don't forget to do it. And notice he says in verse 8, to keep it holy. Now, what does that mean? Separate, different, special, kind of, if you like, reserved to and for God. All right, why should you do that? Well, here it is. Here's the pattern of work and rest built into the creation and built into the life of the nation. So God says, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. Well, there's a pattern. Interesting, in the Bible, work's a good thing. So if you read Genesis, particularly Genesis 1 and 2, God creates the man and the woman and God puts them into the garden and tells them to work. It's a good thing to look after the garden, to keep it, to be productive. Now in chapter 3, the man and the woman ignore God, walk away from him, and everything's messed up, including work. And the promise of Genesis 3 is no longer will it be kind of easy and fun, it'll be frustrating. The Bible does say, if you can enjoy your work, here's a book of Ecclesiastes. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, in other words, to enjoy their work, this is a gift of God. So if you're going back to work this afternoon thinking, like, woohoo, okay, that's the gift of God. I can tell you all are, right? Okay, all right. Okay. If it's hard and frustrating, that's what the Bible says. Pretty much expect that. If it's good, that's the gift of God. Okay, let's keep going through the commandment. Work 6 days, yeah. Well, if you only work five, even better. But why? Now, what's the Sabbath about? But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter or male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. It's a rest day. You notice the idea of six and one, a seven-day week. Here's something you may be interested in. I don't have time to go into it, but lots of cultures have tried different numbers of days in their week. So, you know, the Egyptians used to have they divide their month up into 3 10-day weeks. And I found out recently, even as late as 1929, the Soviet Union tried a different calendar. They had 12 30-day months in a year, and then, six 5-day weeks in every month. It worked perfectly, except no one would do it, and they scrapped it in 1940. But we're just used to, in our society, because of the Judeo-Christian heritage, a 7-day week. 6 on, 1 off is the pattern. Although we've done a little better, we've got 2 days off. And notice, though, who was to have a rest? Well, in ancient Israel, here's something you may not have noticed. You notice who the commandment is given to? The commandment isn't given to the servants or the animals. The commandment's given to the head of the household. Why? Because if the head of the household doesn't let you take a rest, you can't. So it's the head of the household told, you shall take a rest, and then your son, your daughter, your servants, your animals, everyone gets to rest. It's a great leveller. And it's built into the life of Israel. In fact, if you read the Old Testament law, it's built in at even more than a weekly level. 1 year in seven, they were not to plant crops. The land was to have a, what would you call it if every seventh year you got a sort of some time off and you was like the Sabbath and a sabbatical. The land got a sabbatical, and it's, you know, as academia often gets. And then 7 times 7, they were to celebrate the Jubilee when everyone got a fresh start again and all the debts were forgiven and so on. Okay, now why would you do that? Okay, so that's what you do. That's the pattern. Everyone gets a rest. Why do you do that? Because it's built into creation. We're told, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's the pattern that God has built into creation. So we'll come to that in just a moment. Now here's the question, though. Why would you do it? Because if you take a day off in seven, that's, I think I'm right, it's 14% of your productive time. Why not just work all the time? 14% is a big margin. The answer is, well, firstly, the boss says do it, so you should. But it's also an act of trust that the God who made the world and the God who gives you life is able to look after you while you can rest, relax and enjoy that for a day a week. In other words, he can run the world for a day without you, and you can trust him that he'll look after you. Now, here's another point. I don't think I've... The Ten Commandments are given a second time in the book of Deuteronomy 40 years later, and the reason there isn't so much creation, but that God rescued them out of slavery. And I'm going to keep going. Forgive me, please. I just can't... But you can check out in Deuteronomy the difference. Okay, so in Israel, the idea was the Sabbath was a weekly reminder that God the Creator had built this idea of rest into creation, and it pointed to them knowing him as Creator and also the one who'd brought them out of slavery as well. And so because of that, they could rest. In fact, as you read, what it points to is this idea of God's end goal is not that we all be mad keen workers all the time. God's end goal in creation is being able to rest and enjoy his creation. So if you read Genesis, that kind of beautiful poetic explanation about creation, the high point of creation is not that God makes the man and the woman. God makes the man and the woman on day six. But day seven is the high point. And what we're told is this. by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he what? He rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he'd done. So the high point is God being able to say, you know what? That's really good. I'm going to enjoy it and I want humanity to be able to enjoy it with me. Okay? The Creator's aim is to give people rest. So work is good, rest is better. Okay? And I don't know about you, but if you might want to think, what's the perfect day off or the perfect day on holidays? You know, for me, I remember we used to go to the beach with our kids on holidays and we'd get up and we'd take them to the beach and I'd spend, I don't know how many hours, walking boogie boards out, turning it around, letting them surf in, that sort of thing. We'd come home, eat lunch, and then the cricket would be on and you turn the cricket down just a little bit and threaten the kids to stay away or do something and fall asleep in front of the cricket with the... And that was just that's the way the world was meant to be. Now, you fill in whatever you want, but that's that idea. That's okay. Now, the fourth commandment operated for about 1,400 years from Moses through to Jesus. And it's a great pity that by the time Jesus arrives in Israel, early first century, the religious leaders of the day had turned the Sabbath into an absolute nitpicking, miserable burden with hundreds of rules and regulations about how you were to keep it. And Jesus comes along and says, no, the Sabbath was made for man, humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. You've totally messed things up. And that was a big part of their conflict with Jesus. What the New Testament says is, actually, the Sabbath looked forward to spiritual rest. That when Jesus would come and that he would die and people could be freely forgiven, you could actually stop working and striving for acceptance with God and you could have spiritual rest and know, oh, I'm at peace with God and I'm accepted. And heaven is talked about as God's ultimate rest. Heaven's the place where you'll find real spiritual rest and you can have that through Jesus. So that's the idea of the Sabbath. It pointed, yes, into creation, but beyond that, God's ultimate goal that people could have spiritual rest. Okay, so what about today? Where are we? First they pointed to Jesus. I haven't got time, sorry. Okay, and the Lord's Day. If you're a follower of Jesus now, how do you try and make sense of this? Christian people hold very strong views about the Sabbath, okay, or many Christian people do. I can't find anywhere where the New Testament tells Gentile Christians, right, those who are not Jewish, that they have to follow the Jewish Sabbath laws or rules. In the New Testament, those who follow Jesus begin to meet together on the first day of the week, Sunday. It's called the Lord's Day. Why? Because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. They remember the resurrection. So for Christian people, those who follow Jesus, it's kind of three main options that people take. Some Christian people will say you've got to continue the seventh day Sabbath. And that's not hard to work out how the seventh day Adventists got their name. So they still keep the Jewish Sabbath. Other people say the first day of the week as the Christian Sabbath, that is Sunday. And there's some who'll say there's no more special days. Every day belongs to Jesus. And often, as some followers of Jesus, if you want to fight, just bring up the Sabbath. Anyway, what the New Testament does say, though, I think, is it's a matter of conscience. That is, you should take a rest day. But the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 14... you work out what your conscience says and don't let other people judge you about it. So he'll say one person considers one day more sacred than another, another considers every day alike. Each one of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. All right. Let me, a couple more quick points and then you may have questions. What does this say? Well, God's intention in the Sabbath, in this rest, was always to point to the spiritual rest that you can have by knowing Jesus. That in knowing him, we don't have to think that we work and strive and worry and everything to win God's acceptance. You can be freely forgiven and rest. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. And it's also pointing to the promise of the great rest, heaven, actually being with God. So the promise of spiritual rest. And what about enjoying rest now? I think from what I can see, the pattern of work and rest is actually built into creation. If you try and work 7 days a week, there's so many different studies, and just in the end, common sense will show us productivity drops off, and why would we do it? So I guess it's worth asking the question, isn't it? If you're not a follower of Jesus, can you see the wisdom of this? God saying as individuals, and ideally as a community, to have a rest day, to be able to hit the reset button, to rest and to think about life and actually spend time with each other, and particularly time with God. And to be able to do that as a community would be a wonderful thing. And I think actually we're really losing something, moving to the 7-day economy. I'd ask, as a follower of Jesus, if you can't take a day off each week, I would ask, why not? Why not? And I think, well, is it greed? Because I think if I just work all the time, I'll get more and more and more. Or maybe it's anxiety. I don't think I could, you know, Jesus couldn't run the world without me if I stopped for a day. My wife tells me the job of Jesus is already taken, and sometimes she needs to do that. I need to work on this. That's sufficient. I don't feel like quite such a hypocrite right now. I think even the people in our world who don't follow Jesus are beginning to understand this. This lady, Katrina Onstad, when they get to the end and say, is anything changing? Here's some interest. I just thought I'd finish with this. She says, around the world, people are beginning to understand the importance of leisure and being able to rest. So she says, in France recently, this book was just written in 2017, in France recently, they passed legislation that enshrines the right to disconnect on weekends and evenings. So you can switch your phone off so your boss can't ring you. Or, here's an interesting one, Google in Ireland tested a program called Dublin Goes Dark, where employees, get this, turned off their phones at the end of each workday. See if you can do that. Or Volkswagen implemented a program for some workers where servers stopped sending emails at 6:15 p.m. and started again at 7 a.m. There you go. Like I say, okay. What does God say? We're wired up to be able to enjoy a day a week, right? And to enjoy it. Why? Because it points to ultimately to spiritual rest. It's the way that he made us, and it's being able to enjoy the good things that he gives us. That's right. So yes, if you work on the weekends and you're a carer or you have to care for an elderly person, by the way, work doesn't just cover, in the way the Bible thinks of work, it's not just to do with paid work. No one works harder than my lovely wife. She's, the moment she's driving down to Canberra to care for her daughter who's just had a little operation, or my daughter too, our daughter, sorry, our daughter, and then she spends 3 days a week full time caring for her parents. So she's working very hard, but she's not getting paid for that. And so, of course, some of us need to work weekends, and police, fire, and nurses, that kind of thing. I just think the fourth commandment would push us to say we should value not just a day off individually, two if you can get it, even better, but as a society, that idea of being able to hit the reset button, if it's possible, is very valuable. I think that's... Do you want to push back on that? Sometimes it's not possible to take a weekend off. I agree, absolutely. And my niece is a nurse. Another one of my son-in-law is probably going to become a policeman. They'll have to work weekends. But it doesn't hurt also to be aware of the cost of that for them in the wider family. Yep. Peter.
Years ago I read in a briefing article that the word for rest, it was ordinary work, that as opposed to just stopping work, stopping ordinary work. So if you do a certain style of work, Sunday or the day you take off, would it be fair to say that could be very busy for you, but you're not doing what you are sort of ordinarily paid to do or spend your time doing. You're
yes.
enjoying and you're busy. You might even be madly working in the garden, the one day of the week that you do work in the garden.
One day a week, I think. Now, there'll be Christian people who argue with me on this, okay, but why should this be any different? One day a week, I think you're right, that you should do things that refresh you and that you enjoy and not your regular work. So if I could say for me, on my day off, which is Saturday, and I do take Saturday off, what I love, I try and run from Coogee to Bondi and back. It's getting a bit slower year by year, but an hour and a half out in the track and then a cup of coffee in the sun, that's the way to start a day off. I love it. There's other people who think that'd be the worst thing you could ever do. So do what you... Yeah, do what you enjoy and what refreshes you. I think that's right. And if it's gardening, never really tried that, but that could be, yeah, you know. So, or working on cars or whatever it is. Yeah, I think that's right. Luke? Yes. Yes, I understand that. That's true. And some of the first century understanding of the Sabbath was the way that you kept the Sabbath holy or special was to make up a whole lot of rules around it. You were only allowed to walk a certain distance. I think it was around about 2 kilometres. You weren't allowed to carry something out of a house. Like if a tailor had a needle in their lapel and they walked through the door, that was breaking the Sabbath. But if you passed something out the window of your house, that was okay. There were dozens and dozens of rules like that. Now, some of the Jewish people in Sydney and other places have continued to keep those rules. So if you go to Jerusalem, there's the Shabbat setting on elevators, and that is... You're not supposed to light a fire on the Sabbath, which means you're not supposed to push a button on the Sabbath because that involves electricity, a spark. So a Shabbat setting is that the elevator will stop on every floor on the way up and every floor on the way down, which means if you're in Jerusalem on a weekend, don't book on the 40th floor. Okay. So that's true. And in Sydney, there have been changes made with traffic lights, etc., so they don't have to push the button. And I know some people have their houses wired up so that on Saturdays, the lights will switch on automatically at a certain time, etc. So I very humbly, very respectfully think it probably misses the heart of the Sabbath. And that's what Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders is about constantly, that they worried about the minutia, and yet they'd missed the heart of the thing. When he's about to heal a man whose arm's all crippled up, and they were going to be critical of him for doing that on the Sabbath. So, yep.
So, just a question that came through on the SMS line. Just
yep.
to clarify, so do Christians need to keep the Sabbath?
I think, yes, you should have a day off each week. It's the way that we're made. It's the good right. Now, I don't think Christians are called upon to keep the Sabbath of ancient Israel, but a day off each week is the way that we're made. Romans chapter 14 says you keep it in the way that's good for your conscience. And part of the other, how do I go back here? The one that I couldn't stop with, if you want to wrestle with anything, is Colossians. The book of Colossians, Paul wrote to the Colossians, and what he said there is, don't let people put you under rules or regulations that came out of the Old Testament. Those things were just like shadows or pictures that pointed to the reality that came in Jesus. So he says in chapter 2 of Colossians, therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Don't let anyone put you under law, particular laws about that stuff, because these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So once you're a Christian, you're set free from all those Old Testament shadows and laws, etc. Should someone who follows Jesus have a day off? Of course. Why wouldn't you? Let me be rude. If you don't, what is it? Greed? Anxiety? The job of Jesus is taken. He can cover it for a day. And he'd look after us. Is that rude enough?
That's plenty rude. Thanks, Al.
Okay.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.